I love that we can't hide anything from Jesus. We can't try to fool him or sneak anything past him. He knows. And I think in today's gospel, we have this great awkward moment where that is revealed. And I want us to sit a little bit with what that would have felt like with the disciples. They were arguing on the way, even though time and time again, Jesus has been teaching them that it's not about who's the greatest. It's about giving yourself to others. It's about love. It's about service. And yet, here they are arguing. And so there's this great moment where he's like, what were you guys arguing about? And they have to come clean. and they're reduced to silence because they know. They know that they fell to the same struggle of selfishness instead of selflessness. The closest experience I can kind of, as I sit with this, thinking, what would that awkward feeling be like being called out by Jesus like that? I think of how many times I've been like in a group or with others talking about another person, and it seems without fail, they always show up, like right as we're talking about them. I'm not saying like I gossip a ton, but it just, there's a way for some reason of it always working out that way. And you would think at some point I would learn, don't talk about people behind their back. They're going to show up and they're going to come in. They'll say, what were you guys talking about? And someone in our group has to say, yeah, definitely not you. I think that it is so much our humanity to fall to the same thing again and again and again. That's why I think in this case, even if we're talking about people in a good way, we have expressions like, hey, were your ears burning? We were just talking about you, or speak of the devil and things like that. Because repeatedly, here's an example of an awkward situation where when we're talking about people and they show up, and they ask, what are you talking about? Oftentimes it was them. And so I see a similar feeling. You know, again, when these disciples are called out by Jesus, and he asks, what were you guys talking about? And they come to this realization that once again, they didn't get it. Once again, everything that they had been learning from Christ, they misunderstood. And then they're silent. How do we explain this to Jesus? He called us out. He made us admit it to ourselves. Yeah, I think in the midst of that feeling kind of awkward, for us to give ourselves, cut ourselves a little slack, and perhaps the disciples as well, it's an important thing because I think that since the beginning of humanity, it has been a constant struggle for us to come to understand that reality that we are called to selfless love and not to selfishness. Constantly, humanity's struggle has been this desire to look inward when actually the image in which we are made is this outward selfless love. Then Joseph Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, in his book Introduction to Christianity, he kind of teases this apart. He says, actually, from the very beginning, when humanity first sinned, he said, a lot of times we think that first sin was Adam wanting to be like God. And he said, that wasn't Adam's first sin. That's Adam's vocation, actually. Humanity's calling is to be like God. That's the promise. And so his error wasn't wanting to be like God. His error was misconstruing the image of God. Seeing God as somehow independent or autonomous, the greatest of all, and separated from everything. That was where the error was in the fall of humanity. Because then, by imitating this false image, Adam finds himself disobedient to who God is. And so then, acting out of this false image, Adam withdraws to loneliness. He disconnects himself from communion because God is revealed as community. God, as a trinity, a communion of persons, is revealed as community. His image is not some way removed and independent, but his very nature is communion, is this selfless love. And I think if we're honest, our struggle continually as humanity has been this misunderstanding of that. We are constantly saying, I can do this alone. I can do it by myself. Or even worse, maybe thinking that we're supposed to be autonomous or independent. And yet that is not the image in which we are made. Ratzinger goes on to explain then and kind of define this communion of persons, the Trinity, as a community of self-emptying love, finding joy in each other. Can we listen to that definition? A community of self-emptying love, finding joy in each other. What if people defined us that way, our community that way? How beautiful would that be? When people see us as Christians, that they would say, wow, that person is part of a community of self-emptying love that finds joy in each other. Because that is our identity. That is the image in which we are made. That's what we should be seeking for the fulfillment of our hearts. And yet, time and time again, we choose something differently. It's the struggle of Adam and Eve. It was a struggle of the disciples. And it is our struggle still today. Living fully that image of who our God is. Because that's our vocation. That's our destiny. To have that identity. To be a community of self-emptying love. Finding joy in each other. And I think the disciples, as they were hearing Jesus teach them about what this looks like, as he explains to them the cross, the necessity of this total gift of self, I think the disciples' big error is that even though they didn't understand, they didn't question. What would have been different if they had just said, sorry, Jesus, can you kind of help us understand this whole you dying and rising thing? Can you help us understand this total emptying of self? Why the cross has to be part of it? How much more understanding can there be if we're not afraid to ask those questions? And so right now, today, let's not make the same mistake. Let's feel a freedom to ask in our prayer, to ask this question. What does service look like? If my heart is made to serve others, if my heart is made to be this self-emptying love, what does that look like today? What does it look like in my interaction with the people today in my life, this week in my life? What does a community of self-emptying love, finding joy in each other, what does it look like? What are the concrete ways that we can say yes to serving? What does service to the poor or the imprisoned or the lonely, what does that look like? Because that's what we're called to say yes to. That's the image in which we're called to live. What does that service to other look like? We can ask that question. We should ask that question. And I think pretty easily, When we ask the question, I think we know a lot of answers. I think for many of us, there are moments where we're called to service, and we know what self-emptying love would look like, but we don't want to do it. It's easier just to remain silent and sit in that awkwardness. But what if today we receive the grace and the strength? What if as we ask that question, What does serving others look like? When we receive the answer, what if we said yes to that image? What if we said yes to that self-emptying love, finding joy in others? It would transform our life. It would transform all of humanity. And so, in our prayer today, let's ask the question. Let's not be afraid of the way that God is calling us to share in his image, to serve those in our lives. Lord, may we be of greater service to our brothers and sisters. May we be a community of self-emptying love, finding joy in each other.